don't you turn with me to Mark's Gospel this morning? We're going to be picking up as we're just flying through Mark's Gospel. He's a snapshot guy. He moves quickly. As we're moving through it, we're not moving quite as fast as Mark penned this. This is our fourth study, and we're in chapter two, the very first verse of chapter 2. But, you know, we're getting there. It's hopefully a quality that matters in the study of God's Word. So we left off as Mark had kind of penned out for us. And remember, he's kind of reiterating what he has heard, really likely, from Peter. And so this is really his gospel, and he's kind of sharing it as from a servant perspective, Jesus as the servant. Just got to keep that in your mind as we're going through it, Jesus as the servant. We've talked about oftentimes, do we see ourselves, because as Christians we're to be Christ-like or we're to be representatives. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and we're representing Jesus Christ to the people around us that may not know Jesus Christ, and even those that do know Jesus Christ. We are to represent Him to one another and to our dying world around us. And so we're to represent Him, no doubt, absolutely in truth and transparency, but also we're to represent as the servant, that servant leader type style that Jesus had. He loved and yet He led in just the right heart, didn't He? He was always willing to do things and help and care for people. Just a wonderful example. We saw Him doing some healing things that were happening in the latter part of chapter 1. We saw Him touching, you know, a leper. And we know, we talked about there was no known cure and is no known cure for leprosy itself. And so there's great risk, in a sense, was being placed upon Him if He reaches out and touches. But it was an example to us as a type in typology, a type of sin, and that sin isn't just transfer that way. It's, you know, remember how the religious leaders of the time would gather up their robe and make sure they didn't bump up against anybody so sin wouldn't transfer to them. You know, a lot of times we can kind of take that kind of posture and, oh gosh, you know, we get really uncomfortable around being around certain types of individuals that may be struggling with something, some sin issue. But it's important as we go on this morning, as we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 2, we kind of learn about our attitude as we see Jesus' attitude. So let's look at it from that perspective. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that He was in the house. Immediately, many gathered. We talked about that word keeps coming up the first few chapters. Immediately, immediately, immediately. It's bam, bam, bam. You know, I really like that part of this, you know, as He kind of reiterates things. There's a sense of urgency. There's something going on. He's wanting to communicate it. Immediately, this transpired. And then we went over here and this went down. And there's an excitement that He's trying to convey about His relationship with the Lord and His interaction with the Lord and how the Lord carried Himself in events and circumstances. It wasn't matter of fact. Well, you know, have you ever, sometimes I've listened and people are describing something in their Christian experience and it is so matter of fact, so drab, so dull. I'm thankful I'm a believer so that I can kind of sift through it, you know, because I can deal with that. But man, some non-believer that's listening to that is just going to go, wow, great. So where do I sign up for that? You know, I mean, you know, there's no anticipation. You know, one of the things we've been talking about around our home quite a bit, and I've shared with you a little bit about this recently, is just God at work behind the scenes. You know, that God's busy doing stuff behind the scenes. You know, and we don't always see it. We don't always recognize it. But then all of a sudden, boom, events start happening. It starts to reveal, and we start to see it for what it is, that God's doing something behind the scenes. We've been talking about Esther, you know, the book of Esther, and how God's not mentioned once in the book of Esther by name. And yet it's all about God at work behind the scenes. It's all about the Lord, and yet God's not mentioned once. It's lived out, it's played out, you know, in the events and sequential things that are happening as God is busy behind the scenes. I think that idea of immediately, something's going on. And think about it when you pray and think through your experiences when you're sharing with somebody what God's doing in your life. You know, I think sometimes we forget to even engage that God is the one doing something in our life, that it's God busy at work. We either believe it's true, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. You know, I mean, we either believe that or we don't. And if we do, then this should be activated in our life. Immediately, this happened. There's an excitement. Something good is going on. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. They couldn't let anybody else in the house. It was just packed. Not even near the door. They couldn't. They were so crowded that people couldn't even get up against the door to see what was going on anymore inside the house. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near, they wanted to get near to Jesus. They couldn't come near to him because of the crowd. They uncovered the roof just above where Jesus was in the house. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now we'll get into that last part in just a second because there's significance to that. But one of the things that's kind of, I think, interesting, faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. A lot of times people want to grow their faith a lot of different ways. Faith is something that is to be exercised. You know, if we don't go for walks, if we don't stretch out and move around a little bit, boy, especially this time of year, huh? Well, for me, I'm so thankful I've got a little dog that has to go out fairly often because, man, I can only stay in the house so long, you know. Ice or no ice, man, I got to get out. So, you know, I've got my little dog. I take my little dog out and we wander around. And it's good. We need to stretch. We need to exercise. Faith is that same type of thing in the spiritual realm. We need to exercise it. It kind of gets a little bit dormant otherwise. And I want to be kind of specific about this because we see an event here happening in the scriptures that's so important for us. Because Jesus is acknowledging seeing the friends and the faith of those friends bringing their hurting friend that was in need. Their friends in need. I have friends in need. You have friends in need. We have family members in need. What do you, what do I, what do we have to represent? What can we share with them? You know, if it's not our faith, what is it going to be? It's just going to be some story about something or whatever, but there's no substance, no quality, no impact with that. I think it's important that we're exercising our faith. You get a wonderful opportunity this time of year. Now, granted, I understand we have to pull ourselves away from ourselves in order to do that. Because this time of year, we become very self-absorbed, either with our own depression. I would be absolutely shocked if there wasn't a high percentage of people that are struggling with that right now in this room. In this size of God, I'd be very shocked if there aren't several. Because it's just very real this time of year. Very real. Please learn, brothers and sisters, to recognize it for what it is. The enemy wants to use it and make it more than what it is. It's a state of mind. It's a focus. It's just we get so caught up in the turmoil of everything. And there's people that we're reminded of that we miss, that we love, that we don't get to be with or we don't see anymore. Those are very real things. I acknowledge that. It's very real. The important thing is to acknowledge it, what's going on. When I go through that, I acknowledge, man, I'm just bummed about this. I had an interesting thing, and you guys, we've been talking about this. You get to live it out with me a little bit because of my role with the fellowship here as a pastor. You know, I'm sharing things that are happening in my life too. But, you know, with my mom passing this last month, you know, it's so quick. It was so sudden. It was so, you know, it's easy to be here and kind of forget that that even happened a little bit, to be honest with you. We get the big, decent little ice storm. I watch. Oh, wow, this is on the national news. I grab my phone. I go to dial and call my mom because I know she's worried about me. That's when it hits. Now, see, I can go into the big swirl about it. I shed tears over that stuff because it hurts. You know, the loss is when it hurts. But you know what? I acknowledge it for what it is. You know, I miss my mom. You know, I acknowledge that. Don't let Satan rip you off with swirling you into a bunch of other things. It's not. That's the key. It's so real this time of year. You know, there's people we'd like to see, we'd like to be around, and we may not. And that's okay. it's going to be okay. The Lord knows. The Lord knows where you're at. He loves you. He's got a purpose and a plan if you will but see him. And enjoy your life today, because the Bible says we are but a vapor. These guys didn't get bogged down with whatever events they could have been bogged down with. Their friend had a need, and they knew there was someone in town that could help them. They decided to exercise their faith. Now, how do we do that today? Well, obviously, we got a great opportunity next Sunday morning, because people are looking for you as the believer on the block to invite them. They're waiting for you to invite them. They're likely not going to knock on the door and say, hey, so where are you going to church? Could we come with you? The likelihood of that is zero to none. Man, people are waiting for you by your faith to exercise that faith that God's entrusted with you. It's great that you've got faith for salvation. I'm thankful for all of us. But there's a world of people out there surrounding us that don't have that. They got everything else. Their sod got rolled out, and it was green and beautiful, and the flowers got planted all in one day. I know, it's instant life, you know, instant everything. You know, we're mad because our burrito didn't come out through the window fast enough, and, you know what I'm saying? Everything's instant, you know? But some of this stuff takes a little, you know, it's that time thing. They're watching you, and they're waiting for you to say, hey, how about a ride to church, you know? Would you like to go with us? There's a lot of people wanting to be invited. They just are. And they're waiting for you or someone like you to exercise your faith. Walk in it. Enjoy it. God wants to do that through your life. I'm excited about that possibility of just what the Lord wants to do. He will honor it. It's a challenging thing, isn't it? Because it takes us outside the comfort zone. I was listening to something the other day. They said, you know, it's interesting as you drive around town and we have our nice lawns that are like our modern day moat. I really loved this description. It's like the modern day moat, our yards and stuff. And then we hit the button, the cave door opens, you know? We pull in across our concrete bridge, across the moat. We close the door on the drawbridge, and we're in, you know? And don't bug me. I won't bug you. It's okay. I grew up in kind of a little bit of an environment like that in Southern California where it was just, you know, we knew our neighbors. This was a long time ago that I grew up there, so we were still pretty neighborly. But there is an element of it's really okay out there if people don't wave at you. I forget, I'm walking along and somebody drives by and they're kind of cutting in front of me, but you know, I'm out walking or something and somebody pulls close around the corner and they didn't see me or something. And I look at them, you know, I don't know them, but I wave at them. I've lived out here too long. They look at you like, gosh, do I know you? I mean, you know, they kind of takes them a while to figure out, well, should I wave? You know, it's that moat mentality, isn't it? It's the cave. It's the drawbridge. Hey, that's the sign of leave us alone, you know. We're going to close the cave door. Don't come by. You know, it's that kind of mentality. And I love these guys. They're praying. They're concerned about. They're bringing their friend to Jesus, the one that can really help. There's a lot of people. Let's take them to the guy that's selling snake oil down the street. Let's take him to this thing, or let's get him to that, or let's... They are taking him to Jesus because they really believe Jesus can help them. They've heard and seen that Jesus is helping other people. You and I, whether it was a physical ailment or whatever it was, spiritually, you and I got touched, didn't we? We got ministered to by Jesus Christ, didn't we? Every one of us, we got touched by the Lord. That's why we're here. And that's why you've come. We've been touched by the Lord. Or maybe you need a touch today from the Lord. And he wants to do that for you. But that's the reality. And we've come because we know that Jesus is the one. He's touched our need. Now, did he stop with you? Did he stop with me? Absolutely not. All those people around us are looking for the same thing. This is an important message for today, for our time in which we live. It's so important because the moat mentality is there. The castle's real in our world. Just looks a little different. But the mentality is very strong. Protection, our four walls. These guys, man, even though it was a little bit of an obstacle. The first obstacle was, it's just a big crowd. You know, it's just icy and snowy out. I don't know, you know, that's not for you. You're here. That's for the people listening on the CD later. But see, it's okay to have a sense of humor. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm not ashamed of that. God's word says it, and I'm not ashamed of repeating it. I need you. We need each other. We need each other in the Lord. It helps to knock off the rough edges. It's important. The biggest danger that happens is we go into that isolation mode spiritually. Go into that, no, I can handle this alone. There are no lone rangers in the scriptures that you read about. None. We need each other. It's important. The first thing you notice there is they could have been stopped by the obstacle of the circumstances. You see, they were, what my dad used to tell me is, son, tenacity is a very important thing. Tenacity, tenacity, tenacity. You know, stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You know, and that's an important statement. It obviously got locked in my mind. It must have been said a lot to me. But it's important. Stay with it. Stay with what God's purposed for us to do. Those friends, those people around us, they couldn't come near because of the crowd. They couldn't get their friend to where they thought they knew that he could get help. They couldn't get him there. And so the obstacle is there's too many people. There's too much going right. You can't get in. So now what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we, you know? Well, I say we just take them home. We tried. We did all we could do. I went out. There was ice and snow on the ground, and that's it, you know. The car didn't just click. The first time didn't just click. Start right up, you know. It had to grind a little bit. I'm not going to do that to the car. Whatever the stories are, we can go down the road over and over again. I don't know. There might be a tornado tonight, you know, or later today. It might start raining. It's only H2O. It's not going to hurt any of us, frozen or not. The idea is there's obstacles out there when we're interacting, isn't there? There's the obstacle of the other person's thought process. Well, I thought God, there's that. There's the obstacle of the conditions or the circumstance. I guarantee you, you'll get people that will say, yes, I would like to go with you. And upon that very time, when you go to pick them up, there will be 100 things that could go south for you and for them. I guarantee it. Now, you're either going to press through it, pray and press through it, or the circumstance will get you. It's just that it's way. And sometimes it's unhelpable, and that can be discouraging, can't it? That's what I love about these guys, though. They didn't take no for the answer. They weren't out of line pushy, don't misunderstand me, but they were persistent. And if you notice in the scriptures as we go through, you'll find persistence is something that interests God. Keep asking, keep praying, keep seeking. That's what the Bible says. And it's used in that format in its original language. It's used in that way. Keep doing it. Not just ask once and, well, it just didn't work out. You know, I guess God doesn't want to do that. Doesn't want to save my friends. No, that's not true. Keep praying, keep asking, keep seeking. God wants to do it. You know, I want you to think with me just for a minute. Where were you at in your mind in the Lord a month ago? 6 months ago? A year ago, 2 years ago, if you can go back further, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 some years ago, you know, as you start going back and further, maybe for many, and you start going back in the time, are you still interested in exercising your faith? You know, sometimes we get into the Christian mode and we get, if you're going to a Bible teaching church, or if you're interested in, you know, somewhat educating yourself, becoming biblically literate, you start to know some things and learn some things and stuff. But those things aren't for your brain, okay, for just your head. I was going to say cabeza. It's okay. It wasn't a bad word that I was going to say or anything. Not that time. So, but your mind, you know, it's something for your mind. You know, you can go into just, so I know this. But the people out around you, it's got to go from here to here and out. So it's got to travel that 13, 14 inches from here down to here and then get out. so that you can really start to do something. That's where the exercising comes in. Other than that, it's this, and it's trapped here. And really, it's not going to do you any good until it gets to here. And it's not going to do anybody else good until it gets out. That's where it talks about torrents of living water flowing through us. That's why I say, this time of year, it's easy to get bogged down with ourselves, see, and not let it transfer out. Let it flow out onto some other people. This is exciting things here. They didn't let the crowd or the fact that they couldn't get close by like they thought, they didn't let it stop them. They got up on the roof because they had those flat roofs and some of them were kind of thatched with mud and stuff on, and they started peeling through. Can you imagine what that was like for Jesus in there kind of talking and sharing and those stuff starts coming in? Of course, he knew what was going on, but can you imagine this happening? Though, slight distraction during the service. Stuff starts coming in, mud chunks, and leaves, things start falling down in there. And then all of a sudden, oh, don't drop them, you know. Their buddies are lowering this guy in there, right? They get him right in front of Jesus. Oh, you guys made a big mess. What are you doing? You know, Jesus is just so. He is there to minister, and he's not doing just one thing. He's doing a few things because he knows there's naysayers. He knows the naysayers are there. He knows they're around, the religious. They lower their friend down. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to them, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes that were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who does this guy think he is? That's what they're, in their mind, that's modern translation. Who does this guy think he is? What's he doing? Why would he say that? But immediately, with urgency, Jesus noted this and perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. And he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier to say? You know, the miracle of the healing touch is going, whoa. For him just to say the words, your sins are forgiven, and how do they really know they're forgiven? Now, in their minds, you know, he's saying something he can't say, and they're just words. Who can forgive? He's making a statement that he's God to them. And now they've got to wrestle with this a little bit. But then this is, look, I love how Jesus does stuff. He just likes to blow people's minds, doesn't he? He's just waiting to say this because he knows what he's going to say next, and he's going to blow their minds because he knows how they're going to respond to this. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic. He says, for you guys, this guy's sins are forgiven, but for you guys, your benefit, I'm going to say to him, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw, and I bet we never saw anything like this. You know, this is spectacular. This is wonderful. And I think it's awesome. And it is something that would, no doubt, stimulate and develop some faith. There's no doubt. I mean, it stimulates that thought. But it's interesting to me in the scriptures that this is not the emphasis. He doesn't say that your faith is built up just this way. He says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I find that interesting. That's Paul's conclusion in Romans. You know, that's his conclusion to the matter. And so that idea of our faith being exercised, trusting the Lord, letting God do something. You see, sometimes let's just get this into our day right now, today. There's someone that you're going to come across the path and you can say to them, you know, they're going to be telling you about a situation. I guarantee it, if you're listening for the Holy Spirit to speak, someone will say something similar to this. It'll either be a struggle because we've got to spend this time with the family. It's going to be a complaint about resources because there's never enough this time of year. You know, it's just so much to spend to buy this and they want that. I can't find this. I want to get that. Whatever these issues are, you will have an opportunity to say, well, you know, it's interesting. You really think that's what this is all about? There's so many opportunities to just throw that out. You really think that's what this time of year is really all about? And it's just an opportunity to exercise your faith and to share something about Jesus with them. You see, we look for this spectacular, but do you believe today that the real miracle was not the guy leaving the house with his bed that everybody perceived? That was the manifestation or the validation, to a sense, for those people to realize that what he said previous was done. And that was, your sins are forgiven you. That is the real miracle, brothers and sisters, that your sins, that my sins, that our sins can be forgiven us. That is the real miracle today. That is why Jesus came. That is why we celebrate his birth. Because he came to this earth and was willing to come to this earth, your sins, my sins can be forgiven. That's really the miracle. We get sidetracked with the miraculous, and we have all kinds of debates on whether it could really happen today or not. But the real issue is, can sin be forgiven? Can you have everlasting life? Can I have everlasting life? Can your friends, who is the biggest sinner that you can come up with out of your family and your friends, start praying fervently for them? Because they're not beyond the reach and the touch of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that encouraging? I would have been that person in my household. But you know what? For years, my brother was faithful. My older brother was faithful and was exactly this person. He kept knocking a hole in the roof and lowering me down before the Lord in the eternal realm. That's what we get to do through prayer. We get to lower people down into the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get to intercede on their behalf. We get to go into the heavenly of heavenlies. We get to go into the very throne in the presence of God. We get to do work. We're productive. We can be fruitful in the Lord. And you think, well, I can't even get outside. It's so yucky out. I know, but we can still do this. We can keep lowering them in, lowering them in. And Lord, help me to see and hear and know when you want me to say something to that person. Because what happens is, it's a very spiritual matter, isn't it? It really is. Somebody coming to know the Lord. The transaction's only going to happen in the realm of the Spirit between them and the Lord. Nobody can do that for anybody else. It's a very personal matter. And it can only happen in the realm of the Spirit. But we can go into the realm of the Spirit, pray for them, plead with the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible says, the fervent and effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm not righteous and you're not righteous in and of ourselves, but we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now we're clothed in his righteousness. So now we're coming, and it says that as we pray, God hears those prayers and God will answer those prayers as we pray in accordance with his will. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So now we know we're praying in the will of the Lord. We know we're doing what God would want to do. We know that God wants them to come to him. We know that God won't force himself upon them. The worst thing that can happen is you and I will interfere when all hell breaks loose in their lives. We'll get in the way. And we'll start coddling them, and we'll start pampering them, and we'll start caring for their flesh and all. Don't do it. Let them go through what they must go through in order to end up with the same result that you and I have, and that's everlasting life, the personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Man, I skidded on the pavement more than once, brothers and sisters, more than once prior to coming and giving my life back to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the hounds of heaven were after me, man. There were people praying, and the hounds of heaven were after me. I got treated more than once. But the Lord was persistent, and others, the friends, were persistent in interceding on my behalf. Can you imagine how excited my brother must have been, my older brother, when I came back to the Lord? Can you imagine? He wasn't like the older brother. I am like the prodigal son. I am that person, and I know that. But my older brother is not the older brother in the scriptures. He's a lot more like Jesus. Do business with God, brothers and sisters. This is the time of year. We're going to be around people. Your work parties, all these events, all these things going. Take it for opportunity. Seek the Lord. God, use me. He's searching to and fro across the face of the earth looking for 15,000 people that'll be, no, he's looking for one person that'll say yes that day. And he's looking for thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that'll say yes today and tomorrow and the next day. You and I get to be that one. Oh, what an opportunity. What a joy we have. PC is for those who are involved in politics. I'm not, so I don't need to be PC. You know, I don't need to be worried about all that. We can just be Christ-like. Go for CL instead. You know? Just change your abbreviations. You know? Amen. What a great opportunity. Let's stand together. Father, this morning as we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to do ministry, Lord, to be servants, to meet needs. Lord, whether it's handing out a cup of cool water or encouraging someone that their sins can be forgiven, praying for their illness, that they might be touched and healed. Lord, whatever your bidding is for us any day, any time of day, Lord, we're available to you. And Lord, we ask that you would minister freely. Lord, we pray for each of the missionaries that we're in contact with. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them, you'd encourage them, and may they know that they're loved and that they are thought about and prayed for by this fellowship. Lord, we thank you that you allow us to be a part of that, what you're doing in and through others' lives and our own lives, and mainly, Lord, that it's you doing it through us. We ask that you'd be glorified and magnified, and we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing, and ask that you would continue to just move in our lives and through our lives for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things.